But our legend of the game, it's Commonwealth Games just around the corner. She was dominant for such a long period of time and an outstanding swimming career. And she's been in the limelight pretty much ever since, hasn't she?
She's on Women's Day cover again this week.
Again this week. There's a fascination with the life
of the heard she was on the show, so they went out and did the photo shoot.
Yeah, probably. They pre-promoted for us.
Yeah, I think so.
We do as I said earlier, it's not often we do our research out of Women's Day, but we certainly did this week. No, Lisa Curry has been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Lisa.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, we're really well. Just on that, Lisa, there is a fascination with you and your life. I guess it's great in certain ways and not so in other ways, right?
Well, I actually laugh about it sometimes because I've been on the front covers of magazines for 35 years.
Wow.
Which is longer than some people have even been alive. So, yeah, look, I guess there is a little bit of a fascination. It helps when you have two husbands, I've had one. I've got another one coming up. I've only had two. it's funny. Like, I've had, my life's been amazing, and I've changed doing what I've been doing so many times. So it's been pretty adventurous, and, it's been great. I love my life.
Yeah. Lisa, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. And I guess, if I can use that expression, you have sort of lived in the fishbowl a bit from a very, very young girl when you burst onto the scene as a teenager. So do you ever get used to being in that media spotlight time and time again?
You do get used to it. And after a long time, you get to know how the game is played, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So,
you can be ahead of the curve then. You're ahead of the curve, aren't you, if you know how they're playing?
Well, if you know how it works, yes. But back in those days, like back in the early 80s, if you got your picture in the paper, your mum would cut it out, put it in a scrapbook and all that sort of thing. But these days is completely different. Mm. And I remember one time in particular, it was state titles. I swam 23 races.
Wow.
And in my last race, I was beaten by Tracy Wickham. And the headlines in the paper the next day was Tracy Wickham wins the 100 freestyle, beats Lisa Curry. It's like, hang on a minute, I just did 23 races, came in and did one.
Yeah.
And, that was the headline in the paper. But back in those days, that's all you relied on to get yourself out there. So I decided then I wanted to try and win everything to try and get my picture in the paper because it was so hard in those days.
Yeah. Why swimming? Lisa, how did swimming become a part of your life?
Well, living in Brisbane, it was too hot to go to jazz ballet, pretty much. And I wasn't practicing my piano properly, and I kept getting hit on the knuckles with a ruler. So I didn't like either of those. So I went down to the local pool, and Harry Gallagher, who was coaching there, saw me swim and asked me to come swim a few laps, which I did.
Mm.
And then he asked me to join his squad. So Harry's 94 now. Hopefully he's coming to the Commonwealth Games. And, sometimes you only need that one person in life to believe in you. And Mr. Gallagher did. And, he sort of forecast my future for me. But I was the sort of kid who, like, if a coach said jump, I'd just say how high.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. If they say swim, I'd say how far. And I just keep going until they told me to stop. So I was a very trainable child, very trainable teenager, and the results speak for themselves, because I'm not probably the most naturally talented athlete. I had to work really hard for what I got.
I guess in all sports you need to have that certain rapport with a coach, but particularly in swimming, don't you, Lisa, because you have to make so many sacrifices from such a young age if you want to be competitive against the world's best, because it's not a sport you can learn overnight. It's not a sport you can be successful overnight. It takes a lot of long, grinding, tough hours, early morning starts, late finishes.
Is there a
love for the sport, though, that you need to have to do that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But I didn't feel like I made any sacrifices at all. It was exactly what I wanted to do.
Okay.
And when you're at the pool, 11, 12 times a week, for, 2 to 3 hours at a time, it becomes your life.
Mm.
And your coaches become like, a father figure. And I loved being there. I loved being there so much. I would, if I was given the chance now to do it all again, I would.
Wow. Yeah.
And, my friends were there. I got to travel. I was in my first Australian team at the age of 14.
Yeah.
And I missed a couple of weeks school. And when I came home from that trip, all I wanted to do was train hard, make another team, go overseas, and miss more school. So that was kind of my my motivation, but, you know, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. 1976, Australia didn't win a gold medal at the
Montreal
Olympics, and out of that came the Australian Institute of Sport. You were a scholarship holder there. How important was that in your development as a swimmer, Lisa?
Well, that was interesting because it was in 1981. So 1980 Olympics, I went to Moscow, and after that I was offered 3 scholarships to go to American University.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of my friends went to Florida University.
Yeah.
I didn't go because the AIS was opening in Canberra. I thought, well, you know, if they offer the same thing, I might as well do it here.
Mm.
And it's interesting because if I had gone to America to a university over there, my life would be completely different now.
Yep.
And I wouldn't even be speaking to you. I wouldn't even know where I'd be, I was, you know. So it's just the course that your life takes.
Mm. You mentioned 78 Commonwealth Games Edmonton, the 1980 Olympics at Moscow, but 1982, Lisa, Brisbane, your hometown, the Commonwealth Games. If you hadn't heard of Lisa Curry before those Commonwealth Games, everyone knew who you were after those games. 3 gold medals for you, and I guess it's almost going back in time in a couple of weeks. We've got the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast. It's almost hometown again for you, Lisa. Can you take us back to 82 and what it felt like to swim in front of your hometown fans and your country?
Yeah, look, it was one of those moments that you never forget. And I had a lot of races on. I had 4 individual races. I won 3 and got silver in the other, and 2 relays as well, which if you remember, we won them both but got disqualified.
That's right,
both of them. So, you know, I worked extremely hard for that. My coach, Mr. King, was a very quiet coach, a quiet man, and very humble. And when I won my first gold medal, I looked up into the stands, and he just sat there and with a big smile on his face and nodded his head. And it was like, yep, we did it, you know. And it's that moment where you stand on the dais and just about when your name's announced, you're like, wow, look what I did. Mm. So exciting. And then you stand up on the dais and you get your medal and, you know, have the national anthem. I'm a real crier, so
the goosebumps are coming over me now, Lisa, listening to you talk. So.
Yeah, and like you wave to the crowd, and the crowd was amazing. And my very last race, I was in like 7, and I was already exhausted. It was the 400 medley is the hardest race on the program, and the crowd in the breaststroke leg, every time I came up for a breath, I could hear them screaming, and I just knew that I had to find something in that race to finish, and I did. And, you know, it was amazing. I got to have lunch with the Queen. The last night of the swimming, I met my future husband, Grant Kenny. I stayed up all night, and I don't drink, and I did drink that night. And I walked in the closing ceremony with the flag completely hungover. I was only 20, you know, so.
Living life, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was just a very much a life-changing experience for me.
The mum would have been busy cutting out a lot of stuff there, Lisa.
yeah, she was. Funnily enough, I have boxes and boxes and boxes of scrapbooks and paper clippings that I have never had time to actually put together.
Mm-hmm.
So I did pay someone for a little while to start putting them together, but I soon got bored of that.
Too much.
So Brisbane, great success, 3 gold medals there. Individual gold medals. And then Auckland, 1990, 8 years later, 100 metres butterfly, 50 metre freestyle, and the 4x100 and the 4x100 medley. Great success again. What happened in 86? Where were you in 86? We're trying to work out. You weren't in 86 and you weren't in 88 in Seoul either.
No, well, I retired after Los Angeles Olympics in 84.
Right.
And, you know, because in those days you didn't, you know, going to 2 Olympics was something that was incredible, because before that you would really only go to 1 Olympics and retire. That was kind of what happened.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So going to 2 was amazing. I retired, I got married, I had a child, and I didn't swim for 5 years. And then I was completely inspired by an American girl that I saw swim at the Masters Championships, and I thought, wow, she can swim fast. I could. She was 33.
Who was that?
That was her name is Sandy Nelson Bell.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And her husband Keith Bell was a psychologist that had worked with our swim team, at one point. So I went over and on holidays in America. I went and visited her, and I was sitting on the lounge room floor with her, and I was completely inspired. So I came home, and after 5 years out of the pool, I swam for 3 months and made the Australian team to go to Japan. Wow. And that's when I decided that I really wanted to swim again. So that's why I missed that 86, 88.
Right.
And then the same thing happened. You know, I retired again after Auckland, and I don't know, something just said, I have to try for Barcelona. I want to be in that team. And yeah, so I made two comebacks after children. And, you know, and I think that's, it sort of set a standard for women to know that, you know, their sporting life doesn't finish after childbirth.
Exactly, yeah.
No, and I was proof of that. I proved that you can get back to Olympic standard after having children. I mean, people try to compare me to, for example, Kieran Perkins, who made a comeback after having a child. I said, well, hang on. He didn't really have the child.
Exactly.
Like, he did his 2 minutes worth and that was fine or whatever.
Hey, you know, okay.
You don't go through the 9 months of pregnancy and the birth and the feeding and, trying to get yourself fat. And it's tough. Really
and it
tough.
And it doesn't end there either, Lisa. So I was going to ask you, like, even with that first comeback, to juggle motherhood, you've still got young children. And I know you've always stayed fit, but how difficult was not only to juggle your life outside of the pool, but to get back into that swimming groove again?
It was really hard. I had to drive to Brisbane. Oh, I chose to drive to Brisbane 3 times a week to see Mr. King and to get my programs for the week. And I also did a lot of strength training with Ian King. I was at the gym one day and I saw this guy who was coaching the Brisbane Bullets basketball team. And I was watching them do some plyometrics training. I thought, well, if he can make them jump that high, he can make me, you know, strong and fast and long off the block. So I went and saw him. I told him I was, you know, wanting to make a bit of a comeback. And he just looked at me and said, see you tomorrow at 12 o'clock. I went, oh, okay.
Really? Yeah.
So, like, he's a pretty hardcore guy. And so I had to change the type of training that I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I had children, because I didn't have the time to spend in the pool like I used to. So instead of swimming, you know, 60 to 80 kilometres a week, I was swimming about 25 to 30 kilometres a week plus 4 weight training sessions where there was a crash at the gym. So I had to sort of find a different way. And that's when Australian coaches, Australian swimming started to realise the benefits of women and weight training, strength training.
Yeah, I totally take your point. It's interesting watching. My wife is a former tennis player, so we've now had 3 children. As you say, 2 minutes might be all up for me. But anyway.
Look, you know, you might have been 5.
So. Let's not get carried away, Lisa. No need to exaggerate right now. However, what we do look at is Serena Williams and what she's doing.
Exactly.
And I have a much greater appreciation of it now that I know what my wife went through.
Course. I mean, you don't understand something until you've been through it or know someone and spent a lot of time with them. So, you know, getting your body back in shape it's hard, but it's doable. It depends on your desire, your passion, your goals, how much you really want it. You know, are you prepared to do what it takes to have what you want and to be a top athlete, elite athlete, Olympic athlete? You know, in my sport, you have to be quite selfish and single-minded and organised. You know, there were nights when my kids were up vomiting and I still had to get up and go to the pool. So, you know, it was tough, but it was so worthwhile.
This might be a difficult question for you to answer, Lisa, given the success you had over such a long period of time, but given what you had to go through to come back not once but twice and be successful, is there one race or one major meet which stands out for you as your, I guess, most crowning achievement, if I can put it that way?
Yeah, that's always a hard one. I do think the 200 medley in Brisbane Commonwealth Games was my first big international medal. That was pretty special. My 50 freestyle in the Auckland Commonwealth Games, where I broke the Commonwealth record, that was pretty special because that was fast.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have the super suits, you know. I would love to have swum in a super suit. And given that I'd had 2 daughters, and went to Barcelona at the age of 30 in the best shape of my life,
amazing.
Just standing behind the blocks was probably the biggest achievement of my life. And if you look at the competitors in my races, I don't even look like an Olympic, you know, sprinter. I'm small, I'm short, and, you know, I was very muscular because I was in the gym, but I'm not like the other competitors. They're all like 5'11", 6 foot, they're long limbed.
Yep.
I swim against the Chinese, I swim against the East Germans. So I got both ends of the drug scene. So I saw a lot. I experienced a lot, and the Olympic medal eluded me. You know, I came fourth, fifth, and sixth by very small amounts, but, you know, it wasn't meant to be. And at the end of the day, you know, medals are very temporary and winning is very temporary. But what it makes of you trying to win is what's important in life. It's the journey that it takes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And Lisa, we've got to ask you about what's happening on the Gold Coast starting April 4th. So exciting, not just for the Gold Coast, but for Australia as well. Are you heading out there? Are you hoping to catch much of the Commonwealth Games?
Yes. I'm going down for an official function where they will announce the flag bearer. I'm carrying the baton on the opening day of Commonwealth Games, and then I'm presenting for Sunrise every morning on TV.
Oh, fantastic.
Just talking about all the races and what's been going on. So, yeah, I've got a nice little job down there and it should be great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well,
the problem is, though, that I go there and I watch it and I want to make a comeback.
Of course, yeah. We're talking 20 years' time. The third comeback.
I go down the pool and I swim about 400 metres. I go, nah. Too hard.
It's a hard sport. It's a hard sport. Well, Lisa, it's been great chatting with you. Great to catch up. And again, congratulations on an outstanding career. And we look forward to watching you, not quite in action, but doing some work around the Commonwealth Games.
Well, the most important thing, even more important than the Commonwealth Games, is that I became a grandma.
So, oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
First grandchild, little boy, and he's beautiful. So, you know.
One of the great things in life. Congratulations, Lisa. And again, thank you so much for joining us on a Sunday morning, and the very best of luck.
Thank you so much, boys.